As I was saying, the difference between a Bible study and a sermon is we sit down for a Bible study. Some of the same subjects would be given either for one or the other. Basically, what we try to do in the Bible study as far as time is to give about 35 minutes for the Bible study and then have a short break and set up for the sermon, and then we will have the regular songs after the Bible study so we can praise God in song, and then hopefully with a 35-minute sermon. So I must warn you, when I talk about time, it doesn't mean anything, but we try to fit into that. We can only take so much sitting down, and I know talking head is probably the hardest to follow for a long, long period of time. Some of you were around when Mr. Waterhouse was an evangelist who went around the country, and I remember some three-hour sermons that he gave, which was especially at night a little bit hard to follow. So the Bible study is on the subject of keys to understanding the Old Testament Passover on the 14th. And first off, since I would have this question if I heard the topic of the Bible study, first question I would have is, why is that so important? There are quite a few, maybe not thousands and thousands, but there are quite a few churches of God that would believe in a 15th Old Testament Passover. It is actually meaningless to give a Bible study to us, perhaps, if we think that the Old Testament Passover was on the 15th and the New Testament Passover is on the 14th. In other words, if we're convinced that the 14th is the right day, why in the world are we concerned about a 15th? Well, for one thing, God does want us, and if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, for one thing, God does want us to all believe the same thing. And you never know in the future what's going to happen. There is a possibility that if people believe the Passover should be on the 15th and now keep the 14th, that they could be swayed into keeping the 15th. Because after all, if they really did keep the Passover on the 15th in the Old Testament, then why are we not keeping it on the 15th in the New Testament? So we will go through some of that. But notice what God tells us, inspiring the Apostle Paul to write in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 1. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. We see right away, and often this happens, I think in most books you'll find that in the first few verses, you'll see the theme of the whole book. Not necessarily, sometimes you'll have a couple different themes, but quite often you'll see that there is a direction that the writer is showing us we should go, and that is, in this case, there was quite a bit of division in the Corinthian church. And we understand when they kept the Passover, there was division. So that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And this is what we are striving to do. And of course, we should never allow a difference to divide us in such a way that we become carnal. That is very important. Now, one thing we do know, and that is the restoration of all things will come when Christ returns. So in this age, it is going to be impossible, and probably in any age, it would have been impossible for churches, if you have enough people, for everybody to have the same judgment and to speak the same thing. That's pretty tough, but we strive to do that. So what we want to do here is to take a look at why we keep the Passover on the 14th and not the 15th. I'll just say that there is a book that is 435 pages long where the author is looking into and addressing all the different ways the Passover could be kept. We would be basically saying different days and different months, where you would have a season starting a whole month later, or a Pentecost being maybe a week later, depending on how you would count that. So when you have a book that's 3,435 pages long, it just tells you something, and that is there was a lot of things to address, a lot of differences. So with that, and I suppose I could go to the different ways people keep the holy days, and even the Passover as far as the time that they keep it, but I don't think I'll take the time to do that. Are there scriptures that seem to indicate that the Passover is on the 15th? And the answer is, yes, there are. I won't take the time there, but just to let you know that there seems to be some very convincing scriptures. Not very many, but any time the Passover is mentioned, and you go to the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you see Passover is mentioned a lot. All the way through 2 Chronicles, you have the Passover being mentioned. So what we want to do then is start with those scriptures that are clear. Anytime there's a subject where there's a difference, and maybe it could be this way or it could be that way, the best thing to always do is start with the clear scriptures. So that's what we'll start with today. I have five keys that we'll take a look at, five keys. We could maybe say four, because sometimes you can combine them. But some of these keys will be a little bit shorter than others. We'll take more time with some than others. So the first key is the Passover is a day called the feast. And I do think that we're familiar with Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, where it mentions all the holy days. I think we remember that, but it's easy to forget. This is why from year to year we keep the holy days and we go back over some of the same things. But in Leviticus chapter 23, we see that it's stated in verse 4 that these are the feasts of the Lord. These are the feasts of the Lord, and they are holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. Now, if we were reading Hebrew, which I can't read, I could read it. I could read, I couldn't speak it. I couldn't tell you what it's saying. But if you were to see the words, you would see that the appointed times would be Moed, probably. I didn't look this one up, but I do know that in studying this, the word Moed is involved. Because you have that. I think that word is like 150 times in the Bible, appointed times or seasons or feasts. And the first time you see it is in Genesis chapter 1, where you see that the moon was given. So you would have, or to determine your moeds, your seasons. And so in some cases, when you see maybe a month or an appointed time or at that time, that word might be moed. And it's talking about a season of the year. When you think of taking up offerings, three offerings in three seasons. So we have three seasons of, guess what? Holy days. And what we find then here in verse 5, excuse me, is on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Now remember, we're talking about these are the feasts of the Lord, and these are holy convocations. Is the Passover a feast and a holy convocation? And the answer is, yes, it is. We won't take a long time at this point, but we do see that it starts with the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. More on twilight in a few moments. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And again, these two scriptures are the only ones that I will use in key number one. But it's interesting when we take a look at the Passover, what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think we're very familiar with that being a Passover chapter, at least the last half. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you since you, and sometimes we'd pass right over that, but since we're on the subject, we look at this closely and it's like we come together. So there is a convocation that it's going to be talking about here, because it will be talking about the Passover, as all of us know. Since you come together, not for the better in this case, but for the worse, they were divided. Then also you come down to verse 20. Therefore, when you come together, it in one place, so you're coming together for a convocation, and it's not a holy day, but it is a holy time, isn't it? It's a holy time. It's a period where we're sober. We're, especially when you think about the sacrifice of Christ and Passover, definitely it's a holy time that we're talking about, and we're taking the bread and we're taking the wine. So it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And again, in the world, it's, well, when is the Lord's Supper? Well, that's when he ate with the disciples and he had a supper. But they were eating a supper, and I've gone through that, so I won't dwell on it. And then you come to verse 30, let's see, 33. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And if you're hungry, then eat at home. So you see, it's not going to be a supper. If you're hungry, eat at home. Paul would be saying, we're only going to have the wine and we're going to have the unleavened bread. So again, the key is that definitely the Passover is a day called the feast. And which day is it on? It's on the 14th. It's on the 14th. Now, we'll see in the future that some people think that the first day of unleavened bread and the Passover is on the same day. And there are reasons for that. Oftentimes because there's just not enough knowledge, they just don't have enough understanding, time haven't studied it enough. But we can guarantee everyone that when Christ comes, everybody will be keeping the Passover on the same day. And so far of what we've learned, it's going to be the 14th day of the first month. Okay, so summary on this first point, the Passover is a feast day when we come together to assemble in a holy manner on the 14th, on the 14th. Okay, second key, Passover is also defining a sacrificial lamb. It's a Passover sacrifice, a Passover lamb that is killed and eaten and whose Passover blood, so you got a Passover sacrifice, which would be Passover blood, and it would be eaten. The blood is brushed on the doorpost and on the lintel, as we know. Let's go to Exodus 12, verse 6, and see what it says there. Exodus 12 is a very important chapter, naturally, because we are talking about the first Passover that the Israelites kept. So, Exodus chapter 12. And starting out in verse 6, we see that on the first day there shall be, that's 16, that's not going to go where I want to, verse 6. Now you shall keep it, the Passover, and that is, the goat that is going to be sacrificed on the Passover. You shall keep it, the lamb or the goat, until the 14th day of the same month. So again, we see which day it's on. It is on the 14th, never the 15th. John Carmack gave a sermonette a couple weeks ago up north, and he made the statement that when there was a controversy over the Passover in the New Testament church in the 150 to 200 AD period of time, it was not the quintessimal 15th, it was the 14th. It was the quadrodeciman, the deso would be 10 and quattro would be 4. So you have the 4, the 10. It was a quadrodeciman controversy that they were concerned about. Why? Because even in 150, 160, 170 AD, they all knew that the Passover was on the 14th. Everybody, all the Jews were keeping it on the 14th. There was nothing about the 15th. We can make a statement. We can realize that that's the way it was in history. That doesn't absolutely prove that it wasn't on the 15th. What proves it wasn't on the 15th is the Bible says it's on the 14th, right? So what we have then is verse 6, you shall keep it till the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And we'll take a look at that a word in a few moments, but we realize it's killed. There is blood that will be painted, brushed, I would say, on the doorposts, and it is eaten at twilight, as we know. And how can you now come up with a 15th? Is there any way you can come up with a 15th yet? So, therefore, a summary on the second point is the Passover is not only a day, but it is a Passover lamb, a Passover sacrifice. It is Passover blood. It is eaten, and the time is at twilight. So we have a Passover day sacrifice and a Passover feast. A Passover day, a Passover sacrifice, and a Passover feast. All on the 14th. Now, when it comes to this word twilight, and this is the third key that we're looking at, and don't get up your hopes too much. We're going fairly fast, but we'll slow down for your sake in a bit. Actually, we will slow down quite a bit in this twilight section because it gives people a problem. What is the time frame of twilight? Because if you don't know, if scholars don't know, when twilight is, they could come up with a 15th. And I'll just tell you in advance here that some people think the Passover was killed in the afternoon part of the 14th because they feel that twilight would be from noon until sunset. From noon until sunset. Now, as we think about twilight, what twilights do we have that we know about? We could go to our phone and we could ask our phone when twilight is and it would tell us. One guy did that during services this morning and he came up to me and he said, look, Mr. Sergeant, they now have a twilight divided into three twilights. And that was okay. It was just showing that it's light, and then it's not so light, and then it's really not so light. Those were the three. And I think we would flunk the test if we were just described it that way. The three twilight periods of a twilight. So twilight is what? You can have a twilight from sunset to dark. I mean, we all talk about twilight, maybe, not too often, but if you're a hunter, you know what twilight is. And that period is only two times a day. Twilight would be, and we all know this, sunset until total darkness. That's called twilight. But there's one other twilight also, and that is in the morning before the sun rises. That is also a twilight period, and that is from where it's starting to get a little light, and then it gets a little bit lighter, and then a little bit lighter, and then all of a sudden you see the sun, and that's a twilight period. The only two times you can have twilight is the one right after a sunset and the one before a sunrise. We can never, ever, ever have a twilight that is before, right before sunset. It's pretty bright. From noon is very bright if the sun is shining, of course. And you know that there's just no twilight period. And so this is what we have in the Bible, but we're going to talk about some Hebrew words that describe the time or define as the word a twilight period of time. And the word is something that you don't hear very often. We are going to keep the Passover at, I don't even know what the first one is. It's Bein, B-E-Y-N, Bein HaArbaim. Bein HaArbaim. And when you read the word twilight in the Bible, that's it in Hebrew at least. And that would be a, how you would you describe it? Well, you'd describe it as between the two evenings. So if you are a farmer and you're going out to check your crops one evening, and you say, well, I went out one evening and checked my crops, and then the next day I went out and checked my crops at evening, that's between the two evenings. But that's wrong. We can't think in American English farming. We can't think that way. In fact, if you say evening, basically you're thinking a sunset. And if you're thinking then between the two evenings, you are thinking between one sunset and another sunset. And that is just not the way Hebrew is looking at it at all. We're looking at a word that means two evenings, but a period of time that is only about 40 to 50 minutes long. So the Passover then is killed at twilight, and that is between the two evenings. And if you take, and I did this yesterday to double check what I was looking at, but the word evening is Strong's Concordance 6143, I believe. You don't have to mark that down because it could be off a few numbers, but I think it's 6143. And that would be the word you would see in Strong's Concordance for evening. For twilight, you would see 6143, the same word. And so you would think, well, wait a minute, there's no difference then. You have twilight, which is evening, and you have evening, which is evening. And that's where people can get mixed up, because it's interesting, and I believe I marked some things down here, but when you take a look at the interlinear and the parset is what they call it. I don't know if you've done that, but if you take an app, a blue letter app, you would see the word, and then off to the side, it would say interlinear, and that would have capital N, then T, S, capital E, then P, T, something, whatever. And for regular evening, which means sunset, you would have a parse that would be these letters, but with Arbaim, which is exactly the same Strong's Concordance word. This is what fools people. The exact one, it would say a different parsing. It would have different letters. And in the English Standard Version, you have, if you have a little note there, it's FN, I think it is, where you can just put your cursor on there and punch it, and it'll say for the one that means evening, it'll say evening, and the other one on the English Standard Version, where you see the same Strong's number, you put your little cursor on there, it'll come up, and it'll say Bein Ha Arbaim, it'll say between the two evenings. One will say evening or sunset, the other will say between the two evenings. And it's the same Strong's Concordance word. So we sometimes, a little bit of Hebrew is dangerous. You can say, well, no, that's the same word. It's all of it means sunset. And it's not between the two sunsets. It's twilight, it's between the two evenings, and it's on the same day. So we have then a place here in Exodus 16, if we'll go there, Exodus 16, verse 11 through 13, remembering that Exodus 12 said it's a twilight. So let's go there and see what it says. Exodus chapter 16, verses 11 through 13. You remember the story where there's a complaint and the Israelites didn't complain too much. We know that. They complained all the time. And they wanted meat. They wanted something more than what they were eating. So verse 11, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I've heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them saying, at twilight ye shall eat meat. In the morning you shall be filled. By morning time you shall be filled then, or start eating manna is what would happen. You'll be filled with bread and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 13, so it was that quail came up at the evening, that's sunset, and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. So you have in one place, verse 12, you're going to eat it at twilight. Verse 13, you're going to have quail coming up at a specific time called sunset. Evening, or sunset in this case, is a specific time. You can look out and you can see the sunset. Twilight is always going to be a period of time, and they were going to take time to grab those quail right out of the air in some cases, grab them and start eating with the blood. And they got in trouble, of course, for doing that. So twilight is a period of time after sunset or before sunrise. That's when twilight is. Now, what happens is when you have someone who says, well, twilight is from noon, midday, till sunset, they don't understand when that period is. You cannot have the Passover in the afternoon of the 14th. It's just not going to happen. Part of the reason is because as we'll see later on, there's something about midnight that takes place also on the 14th, on Passover. So we just can't have that. You've got to stick with it. And one of the biggest problems I've seen with people who've written 40 pages on when the Passover is and stating that it's on the 15th in the Old Testament, it's just a matter of not quite understanding when twilight is. Okay, so I think that's probably enough on that. And by the way, you can have the evening spelled two different ways. E-R-E-V is what we would look at when we're saying a transliteration, I guess it would be, of the Hebrew. So I hope that's helpful to you. I spent enough time on twilight, I believe, to help us all see that. And when you simply say twilight and you think in terms of twilight, how we use it now, at twilight you can start hunting, perhaps. Or at sunset, you better stop hunting at sunset. I forget what the law is, but it seemed to me in Montana when we hunted, it was getting a little bit too dark. I don't know if they allowed you to hunt after sunset in the twilight period. I do have a story on that. When my wife and I were hunting, and she took the 270, and maybe we had a couple guns. She may have been using a little lighter caliber, maybe a 240, which doesn't, hurt your arm so much. But we were out shooting, and it was getting to be twilight, and it looked like a deer. It didn't quite move like a deer because it wasn't moving at all. And I think we ended up shooting a cactus plant or something like that. But it looked like it had horns. I actually knew it was not a deer when she shot it. But it's like, yeah, go ahead and shoot it. So we had cactus for supper. Okay, the fourth point, key number four then. And this is big because those individuals who say you can kill and eat on the 14th, but then you leave Egypt right away, and then you have the death angel or the destroyer or the Lord passing over at midnight. So this is a big point, and that is you can't have a Passover day, Passover lamb, Passover sacrifice, and then have something called passing over on a different day. So we come to a statement here that I think should be very important in our mind, and we should keep as in remembrance on the Passover. There is a Hebrew, and I can't even spell it necessarily, but there is a transliterated Hebrew word for Passover, and that is Fastakti al, something like that. Yesterday I asked the computer to speak to me in Hebrew in some words, and I decided I'm not going to try to speak to any of you in Hebrew. It just isn't going to work out. But anyway, you'll find that the Passover is named for, guess what? It makes sense. The Passover is named for passing over. That's what it's named for. And however you would spell this, the passing over is how you would understand it. The passing over. If you go to Exodus 2, verse 26, Exodus 12, a few chapters back, in verse 26 and 27, you would have the following, and I have it on my paper here, so I won't read it out of the Bible, but I think you're there right now. It shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service, okay? Kids are asking, oh, what's this service all about? Why are you taking and slaughtering this lamb? Why do we have to put blood on the doorposts? What is this all about? Then you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice, which was at twilight, of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our household. Now, when do you think that happened? Well, Passover is named for passing over. And so if you have a Passover sacrifice and a Passover day, and then you have the passing over on the next day, which is not the 14th, I think that's a problem. So it's very simple when you take a look at it, but you have people writing, once again, I think I mentioned the 40 pages, a fellow in actually Colorado, who was stuck on that. It wasn't in our church, but he was in a church of God that keeps the Sabbath, keeps the holy days. The group that he was with actually did not believe what he wrote, but it was a long dissertation on the Passover being on the 15th. And guess what? After spending all that time, he finally said, you know, I'm wrong. The Passover is on the 14th. So we go to verses 21 through 23 of Exodus 12. And it says, Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, that is, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood, and none of you shall go out of the house until morning. So what does that show? Passover sacrifice, you take it, put the blood on the posts, you're going to be protected from this passing over, and you don't go out of the house until morning. And I've seen papers over the years where even with the word morning, they describe that different. There was at one time, a short period of time in the Church of God, back in Worldwide Church of God, where the church actually gave a sermon on the Passover being on the 15th. That's what came out from headquarters. And it didn't last very long because there was enough controversy on that. And certainly when you go back and read the details, you understand it's the 14th. Okay, so let's go to the last point here and cover it. The very last point is that, and you may know this. Well, let me start with this. When did the Sabbath start last night? At what point was it? And it was sunset. We all know that because we use that term. What time is sunset? When does the Sabbath end today? And the answer is sunset. And the question will be, well, how could you start a day on sunset and end it on sunset? And we all know the answer. The answer is because sunset begins a day and sunset ends a day. And to extrapolate from that, we would say sunset that ends a day starts the next day. And that's, we don't have to be too smart to understand that. We just know it. But when it comes to a verse here in Exodus 12, some people say, yes, the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread are on the same day. So we take a look at verse 18 of Exodus 12. Exodus 12 and verse 18, and here's what we read. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, and that word is sunset, it's not twilight, it is definitely sunset, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. So unleavened bread, you start eating unleavened bread, and of course, by the mere fact you see evening 14th, most people think, that is the beginning of the 14th. And the answer is, that's where the problem comes in. It's the end of the 14th. The days of unleavened bread are 7 days long, so if you say, 14th through the 21st, you got 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, that's 8 days. And it's like, so days of unleavened bread are 8 days long, so Passover and days of unleavened bread are the same. And how does that work? From the 14th, and here's what people do on this, from the evening of the 14th to the evening of the 21st, they'll start with the sunset beginning the 14th, and then they'll say 14, 15, 16, or they'll say, however they say it. Anyway, they come up with 7 days because they start sunsets at the wrong time. I just confused all of you. I know I did. So let me go back on that. What we actually have here is a sunset having nothing to do with when the Passover begins. We're talking about the Passover is talked about in Exodus 12, and now it's going on to the days of unleavened bread, and it's telling you when the Passover is finished at sunset on the 14th. Okay, this is making sense now, right? So at the end of the 14th, you start eating unleavened bread. Not that you can't eat unleavened bread before, but Passover is over on the 14th. You start eating unleavened bread at the end of the 14th to the 21st. That sunset is also at the end of the 21st. You're talking about the end of the 21st, so that means you start the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20 and 21, because you're going to the sunset of the 21st. Does everybody understand that, or can I take a little bit more time with it? So when you see that sunset is at the end of the 14th and the 21st isn't the end of the sunset is at the end of the 21st, you've got your 7 days of unleavened bread. And it follows because you're keeping Passover, and he's finished talking about Passover, going to days of unleavened bread. Okay, so go out and buy your unleavened bread if you have it. Marion had a little bit of a hard time at first trying to finding some, but she did. So I think that's all we need to go to. I have a chart out here like this, and I'm going to actually send you a link. I'll send you an attachment on this whole thing here because it shows on the last page that I have here, it shows you when a day starts, when it begins, and explains what I just explained. Hopefully, some people learn by hearing, and some people learn by seeing. Sometimes if I see something, it is even better. So I don't read Chinese instructions. I look at the pictures, because the Chinese instructions are pretty tough sometimes. They don't spell right. I'm not picking on the Chinese. I'm just trying to say, when people try to explain something and it's not your language, it may not come across that clearly. Okay, with that then, that is the end of the Bible study, and we'll take a break here and set up for services, and we'll start with hymns, but I hope that was clearer than mud.